Good morning. How are you all doing? It's great to see everybody this morning. So my name is Gina Nicola. I'm on staff here at New Life Church, and I'm part of Pastor Ron's preaching team, and I'm super excited to be here and have the opportunity to bring the message this morning. But the first thing I wanted to kind of talk about and kind of bring to the forefront is, how many of you would say you're busy? You know, like, you ever think about how much is on our plates? How much we have to go from one thing to the next? We wake up in the morning, we get everybody going, we get going, we go to work, then we have to think about what we're going to have for dinner, if we have to go shopping, if we're picking up the kids, shuttling them off, trying to make friends, meet with friends, talk with family, and stay afloat, right? We're really, really busy people, it seems like. And I was thinking to myself, how does all that busyness really affect us? What happens when our plates are so full? What is the side effects of that? Isn't it? It takes a toll on our memories, it seems like. It's like, doesn't all of that crammed onto one day take a toll on what we can actually remember? If it wasn't for a smartphone, at least in my life, or a paper calendar, some people are really big fans of sticky notes. I mean, things that will remind us what we have to do, right? To be able to get from one thing to the next. Our busyness has a tendency to cause us to forget the smallest things. I mean, think about this. Here's a text message that I saw from someone, from a teenage daughter. I promise, there is one. There it is. Where she texts her mom. I mean, it seems crazy to think that we would forget we brought someone with us to the store. But maybe it's not so crazy after all, because think about it. How many of us could relate to the fact that we've gone to the store, we've gone to the market, we've grabbed all our stuff, we've collected everything, and on our way to the register, we are more than likely already thinking about what we're going to do next, before we've even checked out, right? We're already wondering if what we have to do and if everybody else in our family is already doing what they're supposed to be doing, right? We just kind of constantly go. But then I started questioning and thinking to myself, what does all that forgetting do to us? And I'm not saying, hopefully we're not all repeat forgetters. Sometimes we don't offend someone else in our forgetting, but we do. The times that we forget to show up someplace, the times that someone asks you to bring home milk and you don't come home with anything but you. The times that we ask people to take out the trash and they don't take it out, what does that do to us? Sometimes, for most of us, we have that inner voice that starts telling us that maybe we're not that important. No one ever hears us. We go unheard. Well, then the question is, how do we know we are heard ever? How do you know someone's listening to you? Well, usually they respond. I mean, if they don't respond, you're like, yep, no one's listening to me, right? But if someone responds, then we're like, okay, we have that verbal connection. We know that someone is listening to us. But I bet if I asked you to raise your hand, we're all looking for something more than that verbal response, aren't we? We're looking for the action that follows. We're looking for the follow-through. If we ask someone to take out the trash and then we come home at the end of the day and it's still there, then you might have said, yes, you were going to do it, but there's something about not following through that bothers us, right? We still feel unheard. Think about how many times we've asked our children to clean their rooms. And they say, yes, I'm on it. Rarely do they say that, but they say, yes, I'm on it. And they're in there, and they're gone for a really long time. And you go in and check on them, and this is what you get. Headphones in, guitar playing, watching TV, multitasking in their world, and nothing's been done, right? We think to ourselves, why say yes if you're not going to do it? We start having that inner critic that says, I'm not that important. No one respects me. Where am I on your list of priorities, right? We start having those questions. So we don't want to just be heard. We want to see the action that goes with it. And today what we're going to look at is we're going to look at James, pick up where Pastor Ron left off last week. We're going to pick up in James 19 through 27. And the title of this is Hearing and Doing, exactly what we were talking about. We're going to see how James is saying that we can't just have the word and know it. We have to actually act on it. So if you wouldn't mind, if you'd please stand, we're going to read this together. It's a little long, but I think it's important for us to actually give voice to it. And we're picking up on verse 19, and it reads like this. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which you can save you. And so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they've heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and the religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the word. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you for this time. I thank you for the opportunity to gather together, to read your word, to hear what you have for us, Lord, and to be a people who follow after you and who are active and walk out your word, Lord. I give everything to you, and I pray, Lord, that we would just open our minds, open our hearts, open our ears, so we can be the people that you've created us to be. So we give you this time, in Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. So the first thing we notice is that James is addressing brothers and sisters. He's addressing those who already believe that God is our Father. In James 18, it says, he chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we may be a kind of first fruits of all he created. So if you're following along in the notes, the very first thing we want to recognize is that we need to receive the word. He's talking to those who claim that they already have. He's talking to those who would say, I'm your brother and I'm your sister because I have the same father as you. I'm no longer an orphan. I no longer follow the ways of the world. We are brothers and sisters, and we are following God. And he's saying to them, take note of this. Now, why say take note? What is that? What's he emphasizing? He's saying this is important. It reminds me of the times that my daughter would run around and I would talk to her and I knew she wasn't hearing me, but she would still answer. So I would stop her and say, look at me. Just look at my face as I'm telling you what I'm saying. I wanted her to really hear what I thought was important. I think about the times that Pastor Ron has paused and he leans in and he says, now hear me. Look at me. If someone's snoozing, wake them up. This is important, right? So that's what James is doing here. He's saying, pay attention to this. Take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Everyone should. Now, for those of you who don't know, I'm a marriage and family therapist. I spend most of my time counseling and talking to families and individuals, couples, kids, actually teenagers. And I hear the word should a lot. I hear I should be further along. I should be better. I should be over this. And I ask them, where do you get this should? Where's your measuring stick for should? Most people don't have an answer. But they just feel like they should. Well, I'll tell you, James has an answer. It's because this is what God desires, is that we should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. If we go further on into in verse 20, it says, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Human anger. What's human anger? Where does it come from? Mostly it's someone pushing up against our will, right? Someone else's will pushing against my will, and I really want my will to win, and we start to get angry, and it becomes this hostile situation. But what does human anger really produce? Usually more frustration in ourselves. We're either frustrated that we became angry, or we're frustrated and we start to fume, and then another person starts to get angry, and we have this battle. That's not what God desires of us, right? Anger starts to lower as we start to know more and receive more of the word. As it produces fruit, we start growing a patience that we never had before, a love for individuals that we never had before. We're good at listening because we realize we don't have to have all the answers. People can tell us things, and we know that God's got it. We don't have to be answer people. We can be slow to anger because he's forgiven much, so we can forgive much, right? So James is saying we have to take note of this, that we need to be producing these fruits. He goes on in verse 21, therefore get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. The word planted in us. If we proclaim God the Father, then we've received the word, right? In Matthew 13, it talks about the parable of the sower, where the seed is the word and the soil is our hearts. And there was different kinds of soil. There's the soil that was just non-receptive and the birds could take away the word or the seed. How does that translate to our hearts? Well, can't some of us have hearts that are so protected, trapped in steel, we're keeping them protected, we don't want to be hurt anymore, so we just buckle down? But I know it keeps the hurt out, but it also keeps the love out. The word bounces off. What about the heart that is more shallow, doesn't have a lot of depth, runs maybe only on emotions or only on knowledge? It's not deep enough to allow the word to root in where it cannot be taken away from us, where the slightest thing of the world could come and push it away and it'd be replaced with something else. There's the crowded heart, the heart in which there's so much undone old life left, the sin, the lack of receiving and acknowledging the forgiveness that's given to us, the song that we say where his blood washed us clean, right? Where we're not leaving enough space, where the weeds are growing up and it's crowding out the word. So the heart that receives the seed, the heart that receives the word, is a heart that has good soil, one that is tended to, one that we know that we are not perfect and we're going to struggle and we're going to go back and forth and we're going to make mistakes. But we're going to pull out those weeds. We're going to make sure that the heart is always prepared to receive whatever it is that God has for us, right? That's the heart that he's saying. We need to have a heart that has the word in it, and that's what saves us. So examining ourselves, knowing whether or not we're actually a people who are receiving the word in order for it to transform us and to change us. But we can't just receive the word. We can't just come to church once a week or a Bible study or just read it and do nothing with it. So the second point is that we need to practice the word. When we pick up in verse 22, it says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. See, what's it mean to be a Christian? It's active, right? We are Christ followers. We are imitators of the word of the Lord. We want to be so close to Jesus that we would be so close to our rabbi that the dust of him would be all over us. We're so immersed in the word that you would just pour out his love, his grace, his mercy, anytime, any place. Now, it's going to go on, and he's going to give us a parable. In verse 23, it says, anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. How is that possible? Well, the word look in this verse compared to the word look that we're going to see in verse 25 is different. This word look actually means to just glance, just a quick peek at, move on. Now, it's hard to believe that we would forget what we look like. Most of us look in the mirror and we're like, whoa, it's been a rough day, you know, right? It's hard to believe that we would forget. But what if you remembered that you're the image of God, that you're a new creation, and you just glance and you walk away and you actually forget that? That the reflection back at us is actually the person that God created. That we're supposed to be full of this fruit, and that when we look in the mirror, that quick glance, think about it, all of a sudden we walk away and we forget that we're followers, that we're brothers and sisters, that we're children of God. What if we put it in a different perspective and the mirror is the Word? We quickly glance at the Word and we move on and it has no impact because we're not practicing it. So see, this is a great analogy because it's hard for some of us to think that we would look in the mirror and not remember. But we can if we consider that we're looking in the Word, kind of like we did our task for the day. I read the Word and I'm on for my day. It's supposed to penetrate who we are. We're supposed to be receiving it, thinking about it, and having it change us. And that's what we're going to see in this next verse. It says, "But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do." That look is study. Taking the time, dwelling, letting it impact you. We sit and we're like, "God, what does that mean? How does this apply? What do I do so when I get up out of my chair, I am walking it out? I am now transformed by what I heard." How do we do that? Sometimes practicing is difficult for us because when we read, especially for those of us who don't even like to read, it's tough to like instantly say, "Okay, now I'm going to go on with my day and I'm going to apply this really difficult scripture in the Word," right? We're like, "Huh, I have no idea what that means." Or I cannot pronounce that name, you know? The Bible necessarily is not supposed to be difficult, but there are things in translations that we don't always understand. So sometimes practicing means that we need to rub shoulders with other believers. We need to be in relationship with people who are walked longer with the Lord than we have, people who have lived more life, people who are passionate about it and you know it. We want to rub shoulders with those people because we want to practice what it is that we're hearing. Now you'll notice in this verse also that it says that they will be blessed in what they do. In. Notice the word in. It's not necessarily just for the kingdom later, right? Blessed in what we do. As we practice, as we walk out, as you take those steps, you are being blessed in that moment, today, right here, right now. In Luke 11:28, it says, he replied, blessed rather are those who hear the word and obey it. And obey it. See, sometimes I think we get caught up in that we've done what we need to do. I've heard it. I went to church. I can't wait to have lunch. We're off doing our thing. But see, we're super happy that you're here. It's awesome to see everybody's faces. New faces. People who are coming in, checking it out for the first time. Like Matt said when he was doing the announcements, you know, some people are taking a risk being here for the first time. Some of us, it's second nature to be here. But are we practicing what we're doing? See, I think about when I was younger, I loved basketball. Beyond belief, loved basketball. I played basketball all the time. I would go to practice that was required. I then would then practice. It was hard to get me off the basketball court. I slept with my basketball. Seriously, kind of strange, but I did. I would lay in my bed. I would shoot it in the air. I just constantly had a basketball in my hand. I loved it. Some of you are great with cars and sewing and all of our skills, the things we're passionate about. We can't wait to get home and do them. Or be with the people who do them. Can you imagine if we had that same type of passion about the Word? I can't wait to get home and read it and figure out how I'm supposed to be transformed today. I can't wait to practice it so I can be more of what He wants me to be. Can you imagine who we would become? We would be slow to speak for sure because we would be listening. We would be watching. We would be quick to hear, "God, let me know." And I think anger would slowly start to dissipate because we would be filled with so much love. What is there to be angry about? Yes, the world is chaotic, but we have peace. We have joy. And if anything, we have hope. We came together on Thursday night because we have a Father who loves us and we have hope and we believe. And we prayed for Pastor Ron and his family and we got together because we believe. And there were many of you who couldn't come, but I know you were praying. It's awesome. So we not only can receive the word, that can't be the only step, we have to practice the word. And then we move on to sharing the word. Picking up in verse 26, it says, "Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless." Worthless. It's not bearing fruit. When we use our tongues in a way that we should not use it, it leaves a mark, right? I thought of the analogy of I don't know where I saw this at, but where you squeeze the toothpaste out of the tube, and those are your words, and you can't get the toothpaste back in the tube. Once your words are out there, they're out there, right? And they leave a mark. Isn't it strange the things that people remember? I think to myself sometimes the things I remember, and I've said to people, "Do you remember saying that?" And they kind of look at you like, "Why would you remember that?" I don't know. I just do. For some reason, we have memories of things that impact us, but the people who say them don't always remember it. So being very careful with our tongues is super important. And James must have been talking to a group of people who are struggling with this, struggling to keep a rein on their tongues. They're proclaiming, "I love God and He saved me," and then using their tongue in a way that did not match up. Their behaviors must not have been matching up. We don't want to be that people. We want to be fruit producing that is of God. Now they're deceiving themselves because it's kind of strange to think that you would proclaim God and then do completely the opposite. But we know that people do this, don't we? They say they're Christian and then they do the goofiest things. They say they're following God, but then all of a sudden we see them enraged over the smallest things. We have to still work on ourselves. None of us are going to be perfect. This week was an extremely difficult week for my family. And so you realize that what's in your heart starts to come out because you get frustrated or you get angry. I listened to someone last night say to me that they were hit with a car door, which is not good, but hit him really hard, and he was in a lot of pain. And he wasn't sad about being hit with a car door. He was sad because of what came out of his mouth as he was in pain. And he made the comment that you could tell what was in his heart. And we need to fill up with the word. What was awesome is how much remorse he had. He knew it. He wants to be close to God. We all want to be close. We want what spills out of us, even in pain, even in sorrow. No matter what's going on, that we would pour out with the Lord, with His love, with His forgiveness, with His word. And we all have our ups and downs. I thought it was more awesome that he was even willing to share it. We're brothers and sisters supporting one another. He was exactly doing it. I couldn't believe it because I hadn't even said anything yet. He was practicing. This is what happened. This is what I feel bad about. This is how I can change it. It was great. So if we go on in verse 27, it says, "Religion that God our Father accepts is pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the word." That's faultless. Looking after orphans and widows. Now at this time, the word orphan is a little bit different than how we would look at it today. We look at orphans as people who have no parents. At this time, it was someone who just lost one parent. So in other words, there was the widow who lost her spouse, and then the children who lost one parent. They were still considered orphans. And we're supposed to take care of the widows and the orphans in their distress. Now, don't be confused that this is supposed to be only when they're struggling, only if they need food or money. The grieving process is hard. We don't always know what someone needs as they're grieving. But there's no timeline, right? It's difficult. There's things that we don't do when we're married that the other spouse does usually. And we're super happy they do it, right? But then when they're not there, we realize as a widow, you have to pick up those pieces. But I've actually talked to some widows who said, "It's not that I can't do it. I don't want him." It's hard. You picture them doing it. You remember things. It's triggery. They need help. So we're supposed to help widows and orphans. Now, I want to go back to the word orphans. We were all once orphans. Were we not? We served the world. We had a different father. We didn't even know that God the Father existed, and now we're no longer orphans. We're brothers and sisters. See, earlier when he was talking about the moral filth, and now he's saying, don't be polluted by the word or the world. Be polluted by the word. He's saying our old lives need to start to shed. They need to start to fall away. We want to go out and we want others to know him. Other people, this kingdom is not as big as it gets. This church is not as big as it gets. I remember all the times that Pastor Ron would talk about bringing our friends, bringing people in. He wanted to see it grow. Conversations I've had with him, this is not as big as it gets, right? We have to get out and share the word. Some of us are a little sketch on sharing the word. We're like, I don't know about testimonies or sharing Jesus, or that's okay. Another way to share the word is through action and through love, through it pouring out of us and through what we do every day. So we're called to receive the word. We're called to practice the word. And we're called to share the word in a really, really difficult world. It's hard to hear the things that are going on. We still have to be in this world, set apart, reaching those who don't know him so they can be saved, so they can have hearts that receive the word. Now, as we close, I don't know how many of you actually had gone through the middle sections of the lobby, but you might have seen something new. And what we did is we created something to go with this sermon, which is called this, well, it's called the Centrals, but we have Connect Central, okay? An opportunity that if you're new here, if you don't really know the Lord, if you're trying to figure out how to, what this church is about, how to fit in, then come, go to the Connect table. We have information. We have opportunities. We can answer questions. We can love on you. We will eventually bring you cookies, right? That's where we want you to be. There's Grow Central. Some of you have been here a long time. You're in life groups. You're in small groups. You're growing. You're rubbing shoulders with other people. Some of you haven't done that yet. This is a place where you'll find the opportunity to be part of a life group. A life group where you can grow and eventually serve, because they start taking their group and becoming mobile and walking out what the word does. They start practicing it. There's care support groups where you can go and get help and figure out who, in your time of distress, how to get through it. To remember and be reminded that God is in the midst of all that we struggle with. There's classes. There's Bible studies. There's men's studies. There's women's studies. Sometimes I feel like, you name it, we got it, right? There's Serve Central. Some of you are at a place where, yep, I'm in all of those things, but it's time to serve. That doesn't necessarily mean that you're going out on the mission field, but we have that opportunity. You can go and check and see what we have. Maybe you're ready to say, God, send me to witness to others. Some of you are like, God, don't do that. Some of people say, I will never go. Don't say never. You'd be amazed at how God likes to break that down, okay? Some of you are like, I just need to start out someplace. Volunteer for VBS. You might not witness to a single person, but you being present, giving your time, loving on children and families, why would you do that? People start to ask that question. Serve at the senior dinner. You want to know the most blessed place I go sometimes? Senior dinner. They're welcoming. They're loving. They have so much information, wisdom. You go, you're just serving alongside an incredible team of people and cooks. We have opportunities to serve. I'm sure there's many more that I'm blanking on. So what I want to do as we close is that I believe that all of us fall somewhere within these 3 points. We're either trying to connect, We're trying to grow. We're always going to grow, so don't get me wrong. We're on our own. We're ready to serve. Take the opportunity to go out there, to figure out where you fit, to take that step. I know it's tough for some of us. Some of you are thinking about breakfast already. It's okay. Take just a few more seconds and see where you can go. Allow God to move you. I'm going to close this in a prayer. And then I challenge you to take the opportunity to go back there. So let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this time. I thank you for each and every person here because it wasn't by accident, Lord. I thank you for your word, for the written word, Lord, that we can actually read what you want us to do, how much you love us, how much we should be growing. Lord, I know that you're looking down on your sons and daughters and you are loving on us. I know that your spirit moves in us and we are all in different places, but you love us the same. And so, Lord, I pray that we would take the challenge, that we would be encouraged, that we would walk out of these doors today and every day after, knowing that we need to practice and share the word. So be with us today, Lord. May we glorify your name as we walk and talk. And I give everyone to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So take the opportunity to go back. If you would like prayer, there will be people up here to pray with you. I'll be up here. I thank you all for being here. Let's go for it.